Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hello, Mark.
Good to see you once again.
Thank you.
Hey, this week into a subject we may have covered a long time ago, but not recently, so kind of a refresher course on insurance in estate planning.
Right.
Life insurance, different kinds of insurance, and how they work with good estate planning.
Yeah, because this is absolutely everybody's topic that they want to talk about, right? This is the favorite thing to talk about. As a matter of fact, people come into my office and they sit down and they go, can you just tell me about insurance? Don't need to know about estate planning. Now, that's not true at all.
Because you don't sell insurance.
No, I do not. And so this is hopefully a very neutral look at where insurance is. And there's multiple different types of insurance that we need to cover. We're going to be talking about disability, life, home, business, and other types of insurances in these next couple of shows. And they do play a critical role in the estate plan. Mm. And so, so it is a very important topic, actually. I have bound tons and tons of insurance and never been paid a penny because it's not what I want. I want that neutral look and that neutral viewpoint. As a matter of fact, ethically, I can become licensed, but my code of ethics as an attorney is that I'm supposed to do what is in the best interest of the client. Mm. And so therefore, I take that very personally, and I want to be a very neutral voice in the conversation because outside of the joking at the top, really insurance is not fun at all. Mm. And nobody wants to pay it, right? And so we all have auto insurance. It's one of the few things that I might talk briefly about it, but
insurance has gone up quite a bit in the last few years.
Oh my gosh, it's just ridiculous. Yeah. And you really hope that you never have to use it. Mm. So but yet, it's our first line of defense, so we really do need to talk about it. And so why would we talk about insurance and estate planning? Because of what I just said, because it is our first line of defense. So most of the time, when I do estate planning, what I create for individuals doesn't change their protection status. So what do I mean by that? If someone walked into my office and we used a will package, clearly all their assets are going to remain in their name. They've got a will. They've got a financial power of attorney, healthcare power of attorney, end of life document. But if they're out on the road driving and they hit somebody, it's their fault. Someone is going to sue them. And insurance then steps in and becomes our defender. Unfortunately, even fighting with your own insurance can be a heck of a battle. Sometimes that is the end result. Mm. But in theory, what is supposed to happen is that insurance company is there to defend you against the other person. Even if we use a revocable living trust, which is foundational planning in my firm, it doesn't change the quality and nature of your insurance needs, because when you use a revocable living trust, we move all your assets into the name of the revocable trust, except for your retirement funds, vehicles. There's a few exceptions. But in a general statement, we move your assets to a revocable living trust. But behind those assets, your Social Security number is still on every single one. And that denotes who the true owner is. So if you're still the true owner of your assets and you are in that car accident that is your fault, then those assets can be part of a lawsuit if you're at fault. So therefore, you need car insurance. I've never told anybody to cancel their car insurance, not just because it's the law, but because it is their first line of defense. So everything that we do in estate planning, not everything, the base place where we start for estate planning is that we keep all of your assets under your control. Mm. Therefore, because they're under your control and they're still your assets, insurance is our first line of defense. Now, There are things such as irrevocable trusts that I can create. Typically, we're doing that for if someone has a family member who may need a special needs trust, if we are moving life insurance, if we are moving wealth into a different bucket, we can use a irrevocable trust. That's a different creature that has some protections of its own when it's done properly and when it's administered properly. But for the majority of estate planning, we start with the foundation that it is still you. And so therefore, when you come into the office, you have insurance. And when you walk out of the office, you still need insurance because it's your first line of defense. So therefore, that's why we need insurance in estate planning.
Well, okay, so it's definitely a need. There's different kinds of insurance, so you're going to go through some of the descriptions of different insurances and what they accomplish.
Yeah, we talked about car insurance. That's kind of a no-brainer right? There's also home insurance. So if you own a home, then you hopefully have that insured. You should have that insured. And when we use a revocable living trust, why does this matter in estate planning? Well, because we need to do something called an additional insured onto your home policy. So now imagine this, that we use a revocable living trust, which means that we move the title of your house into the name of your trust. Remember, your house is still yours, even though we're using a revocable living trust is the foundational way to do estate planning. Now we have title in the name of the home, but we have the insurance policy under your name. So if the house ever burned down and there was a claim that needed to be made, I don't want there to be a disconnect between the ownership and what is on the insurance as who is the insured. So what we do in my firm is we make sure that with your home insurance, we add the trust as an additional insured. So in other words, the policy remains under your name, but the trust now is also attached to it. So if there is a claim made, we never have a disconnect between ownership of the trust and now that the trust is also a part of the insurance process. So home insurance in a revocable living trust is actually something that we have to touch, and we ask all of our clients to bring in their policy or their statement page, their statement policy page, so that we can communicate and help get that moved over and make sure that those are in alignment and that they're connected. I'm not sure that many other estate planners actually think through that process when they use a trust.
That's the first time I've heard of that.
Yeah. And so, so details matter when you're doing estate planning. And so these details, these little details can become a sticky point, and I don't want it to be that. So I want to align everything that is necessary. And we do something similar on an umbrella policy. So you may have heard an umbrella policy. It's an umbrella over all of your assets. Typically, you need to go to whoever holds your car insurance, and they come in denominations of millions. So a $1 million policy, a $3 million policy, I've even worked with clients because they're public figures that need far more than that. But an umbrella policy then, number one, you always have to have your underlying policies intact. So you have to have your car insurance. You have to have your home policies done. Then the umbrella policy umbrellas over all of those for an additional amount. Similarly, because the house is now in the name of the trust and all your assets are in the name of the trust, minus a few, then we want the umbrella policy, should you have one, which most people should, we want that to also have an additional insured of the trust. So we want it to protect your individual name, plus we want it to protect your trust name. So an umbrella policy is really good. How much do you need? It starts with whoever holds your car insurance is where I lead clients, is go talk to that person and talk to them about getting an umbrella policy. I would really recommend that that most people have $1 million umbrella policy. If you were in a bad car accident and you really hurt somebody, Typically, car insurances are going to stop at $500,000 of claim. Well, wouldn't it be nice to have that extra $1 million of potential coverage up and over you? So as we look through estate planning, a part of my job is I'm creating a protection mechanism to the best of my ability for my clients currently, but also to ensure that what you have is going to be able to be passed on to the next generation as you see fit. So insurances play a huge role, and probably more than what people have ever realized, in the current process to make sure that everything is aligning with your estate plan.
I thought that you've talked about by having a trust, your assets are protected from being sued, for instance, in a car wreck or whatever.
Yeah. And so, again, there are different types of trust, but the foundational planning that we do, a revocable living trust, and a majority of clients only use that tool. Or if you have a will, clearly you know that that's only a death instrument, so therefore we need insurance. But a revocable living trust does not offer you any protections. What it does protect is when you die, and when the trust is properly designed, and then when it is administered properly thereafter, it can be an amazing shield for those you leave behind. But during your lifetime, it does not offer any current protections. So it doesn't offer you protection against a car accident, a liability of any other type. If you had a medical incident and you couldn't pay your medical bills, your hospital is probably going to sue you, and it will not protect you. So it does not protect you from Medicaid. So if you had a long-term illness, then you needed Medicaid to process. It is not going to protect you. So there are different types of trusts for those types of circumstances. But a standard, traditional, foundational, revocable living trust, which is where we start our estate planning process, it does not assist with any type of protections. You have to be very detailed and purposeful in order to gain protections. But oftentimes, when you want to have a trust and gain those protections around it, then most of the time you are permanently and forever giving your assets away. And most people just simply do not want to do that. So therefore, insurance is still a necessity. You still need to have car insurance. You still need home insurance. You still need umbrella policies. And all of these should be reflecting your revocable living trust if indeed you are using one. Again, these details matter. It's important. And so if there's if you have seen another attorney and you haven't gone through this process properly, well, you can reach out to us and we can review what you have, make sure that all of your assets are aligned, your insurances are properly aligned. And we don't sell them, but I want to make sure that people are properly protected during their lifetime to protect what they have earned to make sure it can be passed off.
The need for insurance in good estate planning, the subject today, lots of different aspects to this. We'll continue the discussion in moments. People, though, are intrigued by your approach. They want to find out more about your services, Paul.
Yeah, head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. You can find past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us, and more, all found at legacyandfaith.com.
Back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Can I avoid probate? Will I lose everything if my health becomes compromised? How do I preserve what I have for me and my family? Will the government take it all? This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. These are some of the most common questions we get on a daily basis, and there are solutions for all of these issues. It is time for you to protect your family and what God has placed under your stewardship, and we can help. Go to legacyandfaith.com to find out more about our services and upcoming educational opportunities. That's Legacy and Faith.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Legacy and Faith Show this week, looking at the importance of insurance in estate planning, and Paul was going to now talk a little bit more about how disability insurance works into this.
Yeah, disability insurance is a big, big question, and how does it work into estate planning? Well, it can be a policy that pays you tax-free money. That's always sound good, right? Tax-free. That's a nice thing. And but long-term care policies for disability. So maybe I use slightly wrong term. Really, disability is going to be for if you're injured, but it's really long-term care is the term I should have used. I apologize. So the long-term care policies, they require that generally you have activities of daily living that are compromised. So what are activities of daily living? So can you bathe yourself? Do you need assistance dressing, going to the bathroom? Can you transfer yourself, get in and out of chairs, get to the bathroom yourself? Are you able to feed yourself? And are you able to take your medications? So there's many things that a long-term care policy would look at. And if indeed you meet that you are compromised in these activities of daily living, then your long-term care policy can trigger and turn on. And when it triggers and turns on, there's usually what we call an elimination period, anywhere from 60, 90, and it can even be longer, which means you're going to have to pay for your own care for that amount of days. Then it's going to trigger, and you're going to get a specific type of benefit, a certain dollar sum per month that will help create tax-free benefit. So why would it be important in estate planning, or why would we want to know if there is a long-term care policy in your plan? Well, number one, if you are having health issues and the family is working with you, oftentimes your family members don't even know that you have a policy like this. So we like to be the hub of information, number one, is we are able to guide the family in. There's other things that trigger, such as a financial power of attorney, a successor trustee. We have to oftentimes transfer legal authority to manage the assets. So, long-term care. My brain has got to turn on here today. The long-term care policy then is going to likewise trigger and again offer that tax-free income. And that helps mitigate the cost, therefore preserving some of your assets. And so long-term care policies can be an important discussion for looking at your estate plan and having that ready and available.
Yeah, but both disability insurance and long-term care, I've heard that these policies are pretty expensive.
They can be.
Yeah. And most people can't afford them.
That is one of the big rubs.
Long-term care.
Yeah, long-term care. So when you look at long-term care, now this is where I'm going to start getting way out of my depth because I do not offer any of these services.
Right.
Oftentimes, your financial advisor will be able to assist you having a more in-depth cost analysis of whether it's going to be appropriate for you. There are others that specialize in just long-term care policies. And so there's multiple types of long-term care policies. So this is just going to be a very, very high level based upon my experience as a estate planner. And so this is not intended to be a specific show about you getting it. I don't know whether you need it or not. So go talk to somebody who actually is licensed to give you far better information. But they can be very expensive, specifically the older policies. As a matter of fact, the policies that were sold back in the 90s, they ended up being very cheap. There were individuals who would go door to door. Many of my clients still have them. But unfortunately, the wheels are falling off of those. And because.
What do you mean by that?
Meaning they're becoming extremely expensive to maintain. And because they're very expensive for the insurance company. Look, they miscalculated several items back in the 90s when products were first being offered. They miscalculated longevity. We are living longer.
Yeah.
And they did not anticipate it. So they miscalculated the ramp up and the extraordinary medical advancements that we've gone through in the past 30 years. The medical advancements may not give you a quality of life if you have a health incident, but it will keep you a long life or keep you alive longer. Mm. So they miscalculated that. They miscalculated inflation atrociously. And so, and therefore, they miscalculated what it would mean to have a continuing premium mm-hmm. on an annual basis.
Yeah. Do these, I want to ask, these kinds of insurance, are they like life insurance in that you buy something and it's the same fee for 20 years? Or do these kinds of insurances get reevaluated on a yearly basis and go up every year?
So the older policies are on a reevaluation. So what's happening is that they are getting higher and higher. As a matter of fact, I just read something over the weekend that said that one of the insurance companies has asked for permission to raise their rates by 250% this year alone.
Mm.
So and for their long-term care policies.
Wow.
So that's how far they missed it, 250% in 1 year.
Wow.
Unfortunately, the insurance commissioner will grant it. So that's a whole different problem. So the older policies do not have a fixed guarantee. Mm. You can purchase a policy for a lump sum. So for example, you can give an insurance company $100,000 and then they will offer you a permanent contract.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a little bit spicy to write a check like that.
Right.
So and again, that's kind of back to what we were just talking about, which is, boy, it really cuts a lot of people out of being able to afford a policy like this. So the older policies, even if someone has paid faithfully for 30 years, number one, the prices are moving upward. And then number two, oftentimes the language in those policies is completely different. And unfortunately, I've had to represent people that have had a long-term care policy from the 90s. They've thought that it should be triggered. The company, the insurance company denied them. Happy to say we ultimately won that and actually changed some of Washington law, case law, of how insurance policies, specifically the older ones, are supposed to be interpreted.
Mm.
So the long-term care policies of old, they will run up cost on you. There are other ones that have a life insurance foundation. So nowadays, there's hybrid policies available. You can purchase a policy, and if you never use it, then at least there's a life insurance policy in the background that your family can get returned, because the old policies are pay each month. And if you never used it, it's like car insurance. If you don't hit somebody, there's no claim. So if you never become disabled, then you've paid for 30 years and there's nothing in return.
Mm.
But with the new hybrids, there is a life insurance background or that foundation, so that if you never use the policies, then there's actually something that will come back to the family, and or if you needed to use the policy, well, then that's why you have it.
Mm-hmm.
So those can be good. So there's a lot of different. There's a traditional, just pay as you go. There's hybrids, and then there's one-time pay. I'm sure that there's other options out there that I don't know about. And again, this is not my specialty. I'm just looking at it as an umbrella discussion of why do you need it in estate planning? Because tax-free money will come to your family at a time when they're going to start writing really big checks. And it will simply give them greater options. It'll give them greater ability to make a good decision for you on your behalf. But when you reach about the age of 60, the insurance cost is going to skyrocket. So really, one of the best times to look at long-term care insurance, in my opinion, and from talking to people in the industry, is in your late 40s, early 50s. That is really the prime time. The sooner you can get it locked in, then they're using your current age to make – the insurance, the underlying insurance foundation. So it's a really important to have the conversation sooner than later. If you reach about the age of 65, then you've really outpriced yourself and you begin to have too many health issues. So we're not going to get underwritten. There could be the one-time pay option, but it may not just simply pay enough should you actually need it. So who should look for long-term care policies? Right at that age of 50 is probably the sweet spot. Have a conversation with your financial advisor. Find someone who does this with specificity, who can deal with you particularly. It is an important conversation, and it never hurts to have the conversation. At least have the conversation. It can be a really nice line of defense should you ever need it.
Okay, the importance of insurance in estate planning, the discussion this week, a big subject. We'll talk more next time. People are intrigued by your approach to this, Paul. How do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us, all found at legacyandfaith.com.
It's the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.